Can anyone tell me what this is? You got that right. Rubik's Cube. You know, I was surprised to learn that this very bright, six-colored cubic object, which twists and turns, was the world's best-selling toy of all time. Did you know that? The world's best-selling toys of all time. It is said that one in seven people alive have played with a Rubik's Cube. And the beauty of a Rubik's Cube is that when you look at a scrambled one like this one, you think you know exactly what to do, don't you know? I mean, you turn all of them yellow, like I did with this side right here, and you try to turn all this side red, and so on and so on. Yet, when you think you have it all figured out, you found out it is almost impossible to solve. What equally surprised me is that the Rubik's Cube was not invented as a toy. It was invented by a young professor, architecture professor in Budapest, Hungary, named Erno Rubik. He invented the cube as a more exciting way to help teach his architectural students about spatial relationship. Then the question is, how did this become the best toy, the best-selling toys ever? How did that happen if it was not supposed to be a toy? It was not invented for that. How did it become that? Well, I believe it is because the Rubik's Cube is a lot like life. I believe it is because life is very colorful, just like Rubik's Cube. It's a very colorful thing with birthdays, with graduation, with careers, marriage, vacation, friendship. But it also comes with many twists and turns also, like a sudden death in a family, like an unexpected divorce, like an incurable disease and failures in deception. That's the reason why I believe this become the best-selling toys, because people wants to solve the problems of life. We want to solve problems in life. And since this is a problem, and we think we can solve it, so we buy it and to see if we can solve it. But often in life, many of us believe that once we pass the age 20 and we get to the 30s, we believe that we have life figured out, don't we? I mean, once you pass the 20s, you're in the 30s. I mean, you're supposed to have life all figured out. I mean, you graduate from college, you go to college and graduate, you get married, you go to work, you pay the bills, you raise the children, and you retire. That's supposed to be life. But just when you think you have life all figured out, just when you think you have it all, you understand it, and then one day, it takes just one day for your world to turn upside down. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, welcome to the series of this month, Meet Job. Meet Job. The Bible tells us that Job was the richest and most influential man in his continent. Not in his state, not in his city, not in his country, but in his continent. And that was not just in one area, that was in all area of life. The Bible tells us that Job was a godly man with an impeccable character. Job was a godly man. If you read Job chapter 1, you'll find out that Job was a godly man with an impeccable character. And one other thing in the book of Job that showed me that he was a man with character is Job chapter 31 verse 1. In Job chapter 31 verse 1, Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. He made a covenant with himself not to look lustfully at a woman. Talking about character. Talking about an impeccable character. Not only Job was a godly man with impeccable character, but Job was a hard worker. He was a shrewd investor. But he was also a loving husband and a thoughtful father. In our current day vernacular, you know what you would say? You say Job was all that in a bag of chips. Job was the man. In every area of life, Job had it made. Job had it made so much that even God was talking about Job and how great he is. Even God was probably making publications of how good Job is and how great of a person Job is. In Job chapter 1 verse 8, this is what God says, talking to the devil. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Wow. That is God. That is God. I mean, I know of parents. You know, parents want to talk about their children. Parents always want to magnify any little thing that their children do. You know, because they love their children, and any little step that a child make, you know, when our child were little and they got up and they make one step and they fall, we don't go, "What's wrong with you?" We go, "Wow," we go crazy. We go crazy because of that one step, even though they fall. And still when our child has grown up, any little step they make in life, we just go crazy because it's an accomplishment. And that is exactly what God is doing right here. Right here, talking about Job, talking about his son, Job, that he is upright and he shuns evil. He is blameless. I mean, just think about that. Wouldn't you love for God to be bragging about you in that way? Man, look at my daughter, Sharon. Look at my son, Alan. I mean, just think about it. If God were to talk about you in that way, but like a Rubik's Cube, Job's life was bright. It was full with colors. When he looked outside of his window, his eyes was blue, clear as ice. And then one day, just when Job thought he had life all figured out, then came the twist and the turns of life. Listen to what the Bible says. In Job chapter 1 verse 15, the Bible says, one of the messengers came to Job and says, there was a twist in the market. There was a twist in the market. The Sabians attacked and carried off the oxen and the donkeys. They put the servant to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you this. Everything is going right. And then just one moment, just one day, without any "I'm coming" announcement that, it's about to come, it happened. Doesn't that happen to you? You're in life, you're enjoying life, and everything is great, and then the news comes. Right there. Right then, change everything in your life. The Sabian attacked and carried off the oxen and the donkeys. They put the servant to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. And the Bible says, while Job was still receiving that news, another messenger came and said, it is worse than it looks. It's not just a twist in the market. The market has completely crashed. This is what he says. He says, in 16 it says, the fire of God now, after the Sabian come, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you this. And the Bible goes again, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and says, your economic empire collapsed and it is a complete disaster. Not only the Sabian come, not only fire from heaven come, but the Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and met up with them. They put the servant to the sword, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you. Man, I tell you, this is a blockbuster movie, because this is action-packed. This action-packed, one after the other, while he was speaking, while this servant was speaking, some other news come, another bad news come. But this is money. This is cattle. And one thing I learned this week I was watching, I had my family watch this as well after I watched it. This week I learned something very important. I stumbled onto a show called Undercover Billionaires. So a billionaire bet with his friends and said, I want to know if this American dream still works. Give me a few clothes, give me a pickup truck, give me $100, drop me in any city in the world, in the country, and then I promise you, In 90 days, I will build $1 million business. Did you hear that? Give me $100, a pickup truck, a few clothes and a cell phone. I will not use my name to get a loan. I will not use my name for people to know who I am. I'm going undercover. With $100, I will start a business in 90 days that is worth $1 million. So this taught me a very valuable lesson that a lot of time poverty is a state of mind. It's a state of mind. I'm not saying for everybody. Out of every situation, there is exception. But this is a guy who says, give me $100. I will not use my name. I will not use my money. 3 months. Give me 3 months and I will build a business that is worth $1 million. The episode didn't get there yet. But the way he's going, I'm sure he's going to build that business. In fact, he says, if I can't build that business now in 90 days, I'm going to put my money into it. And all the people that works with me to get this building start up, I will pay them with my own money. And this guy, the first thing he did, he slept in his pickup truck the first 3 nights. And he went out there and buy some noodles to eat every day. He started putting things on Facebook and all and Instagram and asking people, do you want anyone to work for you? The next day, somebody called him and says, yes, I need my bathroom and my kitchen. He was there the next day. He cleaned it up for $80. And then he went on again and got another job at a t-shirt shop and for $60 the next day. And then he says, you know what? I need to go. There was a lot of buildings that was empty and destroyed building. He says, I need to go in there because people throw good things all the time. And he found 3 tires somewhere and found somebody's looking for tires. That day, he sold the tires for $1,500. He took that money and he went and buy a Honda Civic for $700 and sold it for $4,000. And come back and buy another car for $1,200 and sold it for $8,000. Then he looked for a house that was broken and bought it for $10,000 with that money. He flipped it, find somebody to work with him for free. He's just promising that person, I'm trying to build a business. When I do, you're going to get all the rewards. And that person came and worked for him and they flipped the house, $40,000 he made. And he was able to start his business. He still have 18 days left. I want to know what he's going to do. I cannot wait for next Tuesday. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Job was a millionaire. This could have happened to him and says, you know what? I'll pick it up again. I know what I did the first time. I'm going to do it again. But the next news is different. That same very day, the next news was different. The Bible says, right after Job learned that his market crashed and his economic empire had completely collapsed, life took a devastating turn. In verse 18 and 19, this is what the Bible says. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at your oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. You see, with all these other news, and Job's life was always blue out of the window. The sky was always green. For the first time, he looks out of his window, it was gray. And it was becoming darker and darker by the minute. It is one thing to lose money, but it's another thing to lose all of your children. You may know at a certain age, you may know how to make other money, but I'm looking at Job, his life, and the way they were talking about his children, they were already adults. How do you go back and have these children again? This was not money. This was the people he loved. The people he put sweat and blood into. And some people, when they read this story of Job in the Bible, When they read the story of Job in the Bible, some of us look at the story as an old tale. We look at the story as an old tale, an old story. But most of us who know, if you live life long enough, the story is not an old tale. This is just one of those days when you thought you had everything under control and you come home to your spouse to find your spouse in bed having an affair with someone else. This is one of those days when you lose your job and your house goes into foreclosure. This is one of those days you go to the hospital for a routine checkup and then you find out that you have an incurable disease. You got a phone call, you find out you send your son to school. In fact, Pastor Joe is sharing a story with me. You send your son to school, you pay all this money, and you find out on graduation day, he's not graduating. Or perhaps you get arrested instead of earning a degree. Or you got the news that the daughter that you love so much, that you spend so much money, is pregnant, and she doesn't know who the father is. This is one of those days. It's not an old tale. These are things that happens to people like you and me every single day in this life. Just when you thought you have life figured out, it takes just one day. Just one day for your world to turn upside down. Now, this is the question I have for you. When these things happen, what do you do? What do you do? Where do you go? What step do you take? What move do you make? What do you do? This is what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 20, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground and worshiped. At this, Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, then he fell to the ground in worship. What? This is Job's response to these things that happened. This is Job's response. I'm not saying these things happen in a span of a month or in a span of a year or in a span of 3 years. You know how it feels that in a span of 3 years, 2 years, your mother died and then your father died the next year or something happened. You know the impact of this. I'm talking about one day. In just one day, he lost all that he had. And his children. And then his response is to get up and tore his robe, shave his head, then he fell to the ground and he worshiped. You see, the most difficult problem men and women will ever have to face in life is not an incurable disease like cancer or tumor. It's not the discovery of an infidelity in a marriage. It's not disappointment that your children or a close one might bring to you. It's not a sudden death of a loved one. The most difficult problem men and women will ever have to face in life is where to run in time of trouble. Where do you go when life turns sour? Where do you go when your clouds start turning dark? Where do you go when your vision is obscure in life? Where do you go when you're receiving pain in life? What do you do? What do you do? Where do you go? The Bible says, at this, Job got up. He tore his robe, he shaved his head, then he fell to the ground and worshiped. When life throws you a lemon, when bad things happen to good people, what do we do? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Because it's not if life throws you a lemon. It's not if bad things happen to good people, it's when. It's when. Life will throw you a curveball. Life will throw you a curveball. Life will bring unannounced misery to you at times in your life. What will you do? Are you prepared to respond? It's okay to serve God. It's great to serve God when everything is going right. It's great to be bubbly when the house can be paid and the bills can be paid and the children are graduating and they're finding great job and they find a great guy or great lady to get married to. But it's another thing when life is just crumbling down right before your eyes and you don't know what to do. What do you do? Have you ever thought about that? Have you prepared yourself? Somebody said it is better to be ready for an opportunity and not have one than to have one and not be prepared. Yes, you may have never faced that in life, but if you do, where do you go? To who do you run? What do you do? You see, the mistake most people make in reading this verse, and in fact, I believe I used to read it that way myself, is that we assume the text says, in all this, Job tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground and worshiped. You have to be careful when you're reading the Word of God. Because every single word, even a preposition in a conjunction, change everything. See, the Bible doesn't say end. But the Bible says "and." The word "and" is a preposition. And a preposition shows direction, location, or a time. You see, when all this thing happened to Job, Job went this direction. Job went toward God. Job lifted up his head to heaven. But if we say the word "and," which is a conjunction, which indicate connection in addition, what we're saying is that Job fell in the ground and had a pity party. Job fell to the ground and he went into a depression. Job fell to the ground. He cursed God. He blamed the devil. He had a rage. And then he worshiped. Isn't that what happened to most people? I don't care whether Christian or not. Most of the time when life brings these things our way, the first thing we do is go down into a rage or start blaming and start having a pity party. And then we think about God. It's a normal thing for a normal human being. But Job is showing us something as a child of God. Job didn't say, Job did all these things. He had a pity party. Job went into a depression. Job cursed God. Job blamed the devil. And we probably would look at it and say, well, he would have the right to blame God. Because the Bible says, and the second thing that happened to him was fire that came from heaven. That means God knows. He's aware. God aware that you're going through this trouble. He's aware that your son is going through what he's going through. He's aware that your husband did what he did. Because fire came from heaven and fell onto his son, onto his cattle. It's not like God doesn't know. If God knows, why are these things happening to me? Isn't that those questions we ask? If God is real, why do bad things happen to good people? If God is real, why there is evil in this world? Job didn't just have a pity party and curse God or blame the devil and realize none of that works. Then he changed his mind and says, okay, let me turn to God. That's not what the text is saying. The text says, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in the direction of God. He looked to God. That was his next step. He looked to God. He went and laid his burdens to God, not to men. He laid down and he lifted up his head to heaven before anything else. So this tells me, Job's response to anything in life, good or bad, is to seek God's face. It's to worship him. He could have chosen to have a pity party. Who could blame him? Would you? Would you blame him? I couldn't blame him. Because if one of those things, not all four, if one of those things happened to me, I'm liable to have a pity party. I'm liable to go crazy. I'm liable to curse God or blame the devil. Because that's what we do a lot in church sometimes. You know, we blame the devil. It's always the devil. Devil came to my house last week. Devil did this to my daughter, did this to my son. The devil got in my marriage. No, sometimes it's God. Sometimes it's God who say, I'm going to let this happen. Job could have chosen to curse God. He could have chosen to blame the devil, as I said. In America, we believe that we have the right to grieve. We believe that. Is it true? Yeah. Humanly speaking, you look at it, yes. You have the right to grieve. You have the right to vent. But James Job said, I ain't got time for this. Job says, when everything fell, in time of great trouble and sorrow, before you do anything else, your first course of action should be to bow down and worship. Bow down and worship. Wow. I mean, think about it. Bow down in worship? You know what worship is? Worship is? That's exactly what we've been saying. Worship is bowing down all that you are before all that God is. And that's the reason why he was able to say, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord give, and the Lord take away. May the Lord's name be worshiped. The reality is that there will be difficult times. Life will throw us lemons. If it didn't happen to you already, wait for it. In fact, some of you might be going through it right now. It's one thing after the other. One thing after the other. When you thought that you left this behind, your next step goes straight into another one. Job said, don't have a pity party for yourself. It's not going to help. Don't blame God. Don't curse God. Don't blame the devil. I know it hurts. Don't blame people. Bow down. Go before God and worship. I mean, just think about it. Isn't it funny if you go to your accountant and you tell him that you lost all your money in the stock market? And then you say, what's my next step of action? And he said, worship. Worship? You're my accountant. What are you talking about? Worship. Go to your doctor. You receive a bad news that you have a disease. He said, doctor, what do I do? And he says, bow down and worship. Well, your accountant may not do that. Your doctor may not do that. But as your pastor, I want to tell you, when life turns sour, when life throws you a curveball, when it seems like everything is crumbling right under your feet, when it seems like you just cannot get a break, my encouragement to you, your next step of action is to not to have a pity party. It's not going to help. It's not to run to your friends. It's not going to help. Bow down and worship. Go before God. He knows. And He cares. Though my mother and my father forsake me, God will receive me. That's what the psalmist says. That's his confidence in running toward God. Now why do that? Why should you bow down and worship? Why when life come like a flood? Why when everything is going wrong, you should bow down and worship? Well, you're going to have to come next week for that.